I looked around and started to panic at the thought of walking naked through the house, with everyone there. Chase headed towards the back deck, then shifted into his human form. He must have sensed my unease, because he picked up the stack of clothes neatly piled on the top step and grinned down at me. I let the familiar shiver and warmth roll through me, until I was able to stand on 2 feet again. I knew Chase was watching, but standing naked before my mate was a thrilling sensation with absolutely no discomfort.
"Mom must have noticed you aren't completely comfortable with nudity around others," he commented.
My head dropped like it was something to be ashamed of. "My kind's just a little more modest about it," I admitted.
"Princess, it's perfectly fine. Kelsey struggled with it a lot at first, too. She was raised in the human world, so it was a foreign concept to her. She had only shifted privately and never even suspected others like her existed, let alone that she lived among an entire pack of wolf shifters."
I didn't know how that was even possible, but I believed him. I quickly dressed, and we headed into the house. "Why was Kelsey raised in the human world?" I asked, curious now that he'd brought it up. He hesitated for only a moment.
"Did you know that some shifters can have extra powers?"
"Like the witches?" I asked. "My dad had 2 at his disposal, as well as a seer. He used them to help protect us."
"You know about the witches?"
"Yes. Daddy keeps 2 of them close by. He even had houses built on the edge of our property to both protect and ensure exclusivity to them for years. He has a seer, too."
"A seer?"
he asked. "Yes. You know the power to see into the future? She makes predictions. She's always told me that what she sees isn't necessarily clear, and because of free will, visions can change. Only prophecies are bound to absolute truth. I've heard talk of a rumor that Daddy keeps her around because she once made a prophecy on the Panthers. Tessa says it's why he's always been so adamant about keeping the Panthers pure. I don't know if I really believe it all, but that's what I heard." He nodded like that made sense.
"Kelsey's a witch," he said. "It's why she was raised in the human world. Wolves fear the witches, but are especially terrified of females with alpha powers. Kelsey was born an alpha, but she was also a triplet. Her sisters each had their own power. It became a problem. And at the age of 4, the girls were sentenced to death. Her parents couldn't save them all, but they were able to escape with her and keep her in hiding until she was about 12. I guess the past caught up with them then. They killed her parents, but she got away and lived in the human world all alone until she came here. When her sisters died, she inherited all their gifts as well. She's one super badass witch," he said proudly. To say I was stunned would be putting it mildly. "My dad protected our witches, but they were always kept at a distance. I think they secretly terrified him. Yet Kelsey wasn't treated any different than anyone else I'd met in San Marco, aside from maybe a slight reverence for being the Alpha's mate."
"Wow, that's an incredible story," I said, still trying to take it all in. He shrugged.
"To us, she's just Kelsey, though I definitely wouldn't want to piss her off."
We walked hand in hand into the house and headed for the dining room. Everyone was there waiting.
"Finally," Liam complained. "We're starving waiting on you two."
Chase and I quickly took the last 2 empty seats. Mary said a blessing, and everyone dug in. It was a little intimidating seeing the size of plates piled high with food. Everyone was talking over top of each other. It was like some sort of organized chaos. I had never experienced a meal like it before. I waited quietly as large plates were passed around. If it happened to pass by me, I'd take a little, but there was no way I was jumping into the middle of those wolves and their food. I think Chase noticed I was feeling overwhelmed. He started loading food onto my plate as he filled his own, until I finally had to tell him to stop. Elise was sitting on my other side. I felt like I'd gotten to know the other ladies well, but Elise had been quieter, distracted, during our girls' day and hadn't opened up like Lily, Maddie, and Kelsey. It made it a little more awkward having her so close.
"So, Jenna," Elise started, "what are you majoring in?"
I shrugged. "I'm not sure anymore. My father gave me 2 options, science or business. I picked science, but I don't really know what I want to do."
"Yes, she does," Chase said. She just isn't ready to admit it. I looked at him in confusion.
And what is that?
Photography, he said simply. I almost stopped breathing.
I had never truly vocalized my desire to be a professional photographer.
Had I?
Elise nodded. That could be a great choice if you're interested in working for the Weston Foundation. Did Chase explain to you about the family business?
I nodded.
Good. Then you should know that we need graphic designers, and a full-time photographer would work great with that position.
I chanced to look at Chase, feeling his tension on the rise. He shook his head slightly, not enough to draw attention to himself, but enough to tell me he didn't want to discuss it. I frowned and crossed my arms over my chest.
Seriously?
I whispered to him. He shot me a look.
What?
Elise said.
Tell her,
I whispered to Chase. He shook his head. Just drop it, please. I sighed. It's nothing, I guess, I told Elise, but I knew she didn't buy it for one second.
Spill it, pup, or there will be a twin team-up on your ass, Elise told Chase.
That got the attention of Liam and Lily.
Did someone say twin team-up?
Lily asked excitedly.
Chase is hiding something, Elise said.
I'm not hiding anything, Chase demanded. Just drop it, E.
I'm sorry, I whispered. I didn't know it was a big deal.
Jenna?
Kyle said, trying to hold back a grin.
There's no such thing as a whisper in a house of wolves. You might as well just say it out loud, 'cause everyone is listening.
I blushed. Sorry. I keep forgetting that.
So, Lily said, dramatically cracking her knuckles, while Liam rolled his eyes and shook his head at her. What's the extraction? Chase is hiding something. Don't know what it is, Elise said.
It's really not that big a deal, I defended.
Lily and Liam both began to rise. Not at my dinner table, Mary said. Now take it on into the living room.
Oscar laughed, and Maddie shot him a mom look that had him stuffing another piece of ham in his mouth to keep from getting in trouble.
Cut it out, Chase said. It's really not that big of a deal. If you must know everything, I picked up extra minors in graphic design and network security. Over the summer, Dad told me to consider my place at the foundation, and I did. I knew there was a need. I wanted to bring our online presence into the 21st century because it's very archaic, simple, and needs better security.
Chase, that's awesome, Elise said. Why didn't you just say that? We have room for more than one position. You can head up the department at your discretion. I still think a photographer would be great, though. If that's where Jenna's passion is, the two of you can work together.
And if you're that good, Jenna, you could open a studio in town, too. We could use a photographer around here. I have to drive Z almost an hour to get professional pictures taken, Kelsey added. If you brought your camera, I'd love you to do a set with Xander, as he's overdue on his 18-month pictures. If you didn't, we do have a decent one you can borrow.
Chase laughed.
You don't understand, Kels. Jenna doesn't go anywhere without her camera.
I elbowed him in the side. I was glad he chose to infuse a little humor just then, because I was on the verge of emotional overload. My family had never understood my love of photography. It had been discouraged, my cameras confiscated, and my dad would never in a million years approve of me majoring in any form of art, let alone consider it a viable career option. Yet these wonderful people I'd just met were basically voicing my dreams aloud and ready to hand them to me on a silver platter.
I'd love to, I told Kelsey honestly over the lump forming in my throat.
Great. I know you and Chase are supposed to head back tomorrow, but if you could squeeze him in before you leave, that would be great, Kelsey said.
Well, I looked at Chase. I almost blurted out, we can just stay over a few more days. But I really felt like that was something I needed to discuss with him first.
You're here now, I suggested. She looked at Xander. He was still relatively clean despite the meal, and dressed in a cute little suit that I had been told was courtesy of his obsession with his uncle Liam, who had taken over as CEO of the Weston Foundation.
Yeah, okay, but the sun is already setting. Do you have any ideas for indoors? She asked.
Mary, may we be excused? I asked.
For pictures of my handsome grandson? Certainly, she said.
And it was obvious she was head over heels in love with her grandson. Both of them,
actually.
Can I help?
Oscar asked. Sure. Come on. I got up from the table and ran upstairs to gather my stuff. I was thankful I had brought the tripod, wanting to take some pictures of the town and local sceneries. Oscar proved to be a great extra set of hands. As I looked out the bedroom window, I saw the most gorgeous sunset. There was a cliff not far from the house that would capture it perfectly if we could make it in time. Kelsey, I have an idea, but we have to hurry, I told her. She grabbed Xander and then quickly followed me. The sun was almost down by the time we arrived at the spot I wanted, but the valley below was on fire in brilliant shades of red and orange. I quickly posed Xander near a small boulder and began shooting right away. I only had about 5 minutes, but he got restless quickly, wanting to explore the surrounding woods. I threw Oscar in with him and got a few good ones of the two of them for Mary. Okay, boys, let's head back to the house and see about a few inside shots, I told them. They both nodded, and Oscar helped me carry my gear back while Kelsey carried Xander. Inside, I set them up in the nursery. Xander had just upgraded to a big boy bed, and it made a perfect backdrop for his age. A fun milestone. After a few posed shots, I pulled a pair of his PJs from a drawer and changed him. Kelsey just sat back in the rocking chair, watching. I'd never changed a baby before, or even been around someone so small. But after a little wrestling match, I managed. Z climbed into his bed and under the covers. Okay, now pretend to sleep, I told him. And he giggled but shut his eyes. Okay, all done, I said. And he gave me a look of pure mischief. I was grateful I still had the camera raised as I shot a few candid pictures while he played peekaboo with me by pulling the cover over his head. Last, I had Oscar climb in bed next to him with a book. It was so precious. I couldn't wait to see the end results. When we were done and I went to pack up, Xander ran over and climbed up on Kelsey's lap. He was talking and pointing to her belly. I pulled the camera back out and started taking a few pictures without them noticing. It was a beautiful moment. I walked out into the hallway and hollered down for Kyle to come up. When he did, Chase joined him. Would you mind? I asked, pointing to his maiden child. Kyle grinned and walked over next to them.
Where do you want me?
He asked, and Kelsey and Xander looked up for the first time. I shook my head at him. Just act natural. Talk to them like you normally would.
What are we talking about?
Kyle asked his son.
Baby,
Xander said, pointing to his mommy's tummy. Kyle probably wasn't aware of it, but he beamed with pride. I was confident I'd gotten several good pictures when I decided to continue with the baby theme. How about I take a first pic of the four of you? I asked. That'll be quite some time off, Kelsey reminded me. I shrugged. Kyle was kneeling next to the rocking chair, leaning in towards Kelsey. I walked over and posed their hands so that Kelsey and Kyle formed a heart on her still flat stomach. Xander was on her other side, and without me telling him, he placed his small hand just below their heart. I snapped a few close-ups and then pulled back to get all three of them. Xander leaned down and kissed his mom's stomach as a tear slipped down Kelsey's cheek, and Kyle wiped it away. I already knew without checking it was a perfect, one-of-a-kind picture. After that, I really did pack up and take my things back to Chase's room. He followed me, closing the door behind him. I already knew the dampener was on, so we were free to talk.
That was really great what you did back there,
he said. Thanks. I'm sorry about dinner and putting you on the spot like that. You just have such great ideas for the company. I didn't know you were keeping them to yourself. He shrugged.
I don't know if I would ever have been ready to speak up and tell them, so I'm glad you pushed me out of my comfort zone to talk about it. Elise seemed excited. I think it's going to work, Jenna.
I hugged him. I'm really proud of you. And you know that these pictures could take me a few days to format. Would you, I bit my lower lip. Would you want to stay here a few extra days? He perked up.
You mean it?
I nodded. If you want to, or I can just send these in an email when I'm done.
No, princess. That's great. I'd love to spend a few more days home, but I knew initially you weren't comfortable coming, so I would never have asked.
I know. It's just not what I expected. I don't really know what I thought it'd be like, but I didn't expect it to feel more like home than, well, home. The thought saddened me, but it was the truth. Anyway, if you're sure, I'm fine with staying a few more days. The rest of the week. Whatever you want. I could feel his joy through our bond. It was so intense, but it made me happy, too. Do you think I could plug my laptop into the TV in the living room and show Kelsey and Maddie some of the pics I took? I got some great ones of Oscar, too, and of both the boys together.
Yeah, grab your stuff and come on.
Chase hooked my laptop up to the big screen television and called Kelsey and Maddie in while I set up. Instead of just the two moms, I got the entire family. I didn't mind. I was confident in my work and felt empowered by their support. Once everyone was settled, I started scrolling through the pictures. There were lots of oohs and ahs. Every now and then, someone would ask me to stop and make note of a picture. I reminded them I still needed to do some touch-ups, but they seemed to love the raw photos I had taken. As suspected, Mary requested copies of the ones I had taken of both the boys. And when I got to the rocking chair pictures with Kelsey, they were so precious that she and Maddie were both in tears.
They are really beautiful, Jenna. Chase is right. You have remarkable talent,
Jason told me. I blushed furiously. I think the fact it came from him, Chase's dad of all people, is what pushed me over the edge. I excused myself and rushed from the room as the tears started to fall. How many times had I wished my own father could see me like that?
She's okay, I heard Chase tell them. I've told her 1,000 times how amazing her pictures are. Our professor raves over them every week, always using her stuff in class. But until this semester, I don't think anyone has ever appreciated her talent, especially not her dad. She's just a little overwhelmed right now by the praise, but I know she appreciates it.
I loved my mate, truly loved him with all my heart. But I especially loved how he got me, even on the things I never meant to share. I let myself have a good cry even if I felt stupid for it. It was like mourning something you never had to begin with. I fell asleep before Chase came to bed, but it was a restless sleep until he lay in bed next to me, his arms around me, and I could hear his heart beating beneath my ear. Then, and only then, did I allow myself to truly rest peacefully.
Chase. Chapter 27. My parents were thrilled that Jenna and I had changed our minds and decided to stay longer. Life seemed to be moving in the right direction. I felt on top of the world and could clearly see our future planned out before us. It was wonderful. And then it wasn't. On Thursday morning, Kyle called me down to his office. I had never seen him look so stressed before. The Betas and the entire Pack Council were there. But also present were two members of the Grand Council. The Grand Council oversaw and sort of governed all packs. They weren't supposed to be affiliated with any one specific pack, but we all knew they each had their favorites. It wasn't a perfect system. We were all human after all. Okay, well, half human at least. Being the youngest of the family, I had never been invited to even a pack council meeting, let alone one that included Grand Council members. I couldn't fathom what they'd want from me. Chase, have a seat, Kyle said when I walked into the room. To say I was nervous was an understatement. These men intimidated the crap out of me and made me feel like a small child again. Something's come up, Patrick told me. I bit back my need to sarcastically reply, because, duh, why else would they have asked me to sit in on this meeting? There's really no easy way of saying this, Kyle started. King Lockhart has gotten word of your mating to Jenna. He has declared war against the wolves and is rallying the big cats to battle. We've been given warning. They're coming for us and, I quote, humbly request a neutral battleground. The battle is to take place in the Badlands this Saturday. It gives us very little time to get our own resources together. I think he's underestimated the size of Weston Pack and the Wolf Alliance. My heart dropped into my stomach. I knew Kyle had been concerned about this very thing. Neither Jenna nor I thought for a second her father would go through with it, though. I knew it was going to hurt my mate when I told her. As this reality sunk in, my wolf stirred in fury and I growled. "Keep it cool, brother," Kyle warned. I could feel his alpha power pressing down on me, trying to control me, and it only pissed me off more. I stubbornly wanted to fight against him, even knowing I shouldn't. I forced myself to calm down. "What's our plan?" I asked when I felt safe to speak again. Cedric, one of the Grand Council members, spoke up. "He's notified the Grand Council directly, Chase. I'm not going to even bother trying to lecture you on the dangers of mating outside our kind. I can't even comprehend how you managed to convince Jenna Lockhart, Princess of the Panthers, to bond with you. But what's done is done, and we have to deal with the threat at hand." I shrugged. It was simple. She's my one true mate. Whispers of disbelief went around the room, but I ignored them. "That's not even possible," Cedric said. "Believe what you want. I know it. Jenna knows it. She is my true mate," I said stubbornly. "At this point, it doesn't really matter," Ambrose, a pack council member, added. "What does this mean to the wolves? Can't we just not show up? Force his hand to bring the fight here? See just how serious he is?" I asked. Patrick spoke up. "I've already put in some inquiries. Hey, serious, Chase. There's movement on the East Coast. It appears the felines are rallying behind him in force." "What does he want? I mean, seriously, what does he hope to accomplish from this?" I wasn't 100% sure I wanted to know, but I needed to. "He wants his daughter back, and you dead," Cedric said. I growled, but Patrick and Cole Anderson held me back when I started to lunge toward the threat, even knowing that Cedric was not the actual threat to me. "Get a grip on it, Chase," Kyle snarled, letting his damn alpha power subdue me once again. "He won't get Jenna. I promise you." "How many are we talking, Patrick?"
"Hundreds. Possibly thousands. Every flight into the area is booked. We'll have to go in on the ground. The area chosen is surprisingly far more wooded than you'd expect. We can plan for an aerial attack as well as ground. The cats will take to the trees. I'm certain of it. It will make it much harder to defend ourselves," Patrick briefed.
"This is not just a Western threat," Cedric spoke again. "They directed this to the Grand Council. We do not take lightly to such things. Kyle has agreed to temporarily lift the ban on the Bulgarians and their allies for this. Representatives from the 15 largest packs worldwide will arrive tonight. We will formulate our plan then. First, we have to unite the packs before we can face an external enemy and hope to survive it." The meeting ended shortly after. Unbeknownst to most, Patrick and Cole Anderson, as pack betas and heads of security, had a lodge built just past what we considered our pack line. This was to be a place for visiting packs and representatives, a neutral territory that kept them off Western land while trying to mend the breaks in the Grand Council alliances caused from the war with the Bulgarians. Our foreign visitors would be putting the place to use while everything got sorted. I was relieved they would not be on Western soil. Still too close, but better than the alternative. The Bulgarians had tried to kill Kelsey and had almost killed my father in the process. I was not ready to forgive all that had happened, and neither were most Westons. If they truly accepted the temporary peace treaty being discussed to go to war against the big cats for my mate, I would have to find it in my heart to make peace with them, because I would have an eternal debt owed to each and every one of them. When I was finally dismissed, I headed out to the living room and found Mom and Jenna with their heads together on the couch looking over the pictures Jenna took of Xander for the 100th time. "Princess, can I talk to you in private for a minute?" I asked her. "What's wrong?" she asked, clearly feeding off my own anxiety. "Private," I said.
"It's for the best, dear. We can finish this later," Mom told her. I think that terrified her even more.
I had no doubt my father had relayed the information to my mother already through the telepathic connection of their bond. Someday Jenna and I would be able to do that too. I led the way upstairs,
double-checked to ensure the dampener was still on, and sat her down on the bed.
"You're really freaking me out, Chase," she admitted. "What's going on?"
I didn't want to tell her, but she had to know. "Your father has found out about us."
"What? Already? The girl swore to keep it a secret," she said, starting to cry. "How bad is it, Chase?"
"Worse than we imagined. He's notified our Grand Council with declaration of war against the wolves. He's rallying the big cats together, and we're to meet for battle this Saturday in some obscure areas of the Badlands in North Dakota."
"Why? What does he hope to gain from that?"
"You," I said simply. "He wants you back, and me dead." She gasped and started to sob. I dropped to my knees before her and hugged her close. "I won't let it happen, sweetheart." When her initial sob started to subside, she reached in her pocket and took out her phone. It was too late to stop her when I realized what she was doing. I could hear the phone ringing on the other side.
"Is he insane? Has he lost his mind? Please tell me this is dementia or some onset to Alzheimer's, Mother. What is Daddy thinking? Calling a war against the wolves?"
"Jenna?" the woman asked, like she wasn't sure she believed it was really her.
"Yes, Mother, it's me, Jenna. Do you know anything about this?" she asked. "Jenna, are you hurt, baby?"
The woman on the other end was clearly upset and crying.
"Why would you think I was hurt, Mother?
We heard the wolves had you, baby.
Your daddy says they have you hostage and won't let you come home. I spoke to Tessa earlier and she admitted you weren't with the other girls in Cabo. Your daddy's going out of his mind trying to get you back safely." "Mother, listen to me. I am not hurt. I am not being held against my will. I am free to come home or go whenever I want, any time I want. You don't need to worry about that."
"Are they telling you to say that?"
"Of course not. Tell me what you think happened,"
Jenna said, sounding far more patient than I ever could in this situation.
"They said you met a boy at school, a wolf. He became infatuated with you and took you off to his territory over spring break and plans to keep you. We're so worried, baby." "Mother, listen closely."
Jenna's voice became harsher now.
"I did meet a boy at school. His name is Chase, and he's my one true mate. Daddy knows this because he's threatening to kill Chase, take me home against my will, and has threatened war against all the wolves. I don't expect you to understand, but this is my choice. My decision. No one else's. I choose Chase, my true mate, Mother. And I love him."
I heard the gasp and the sobs. I held Jenna close as she shook. The vibes flowing off her through our bond were angry ones. I could understand that. I hadn't expected it, but I knew that if my family threatened her in any way, I'd have the same reaction.
"You're too young to understand what's happening, Jenna. Maybe we shouldn't have sheltered you so much, but a wolf cannot be your mate. It's not possible." "It is, actually. And if you and Daddy weren't so racist, you'd understand that. We've already sealed our bond, Mother. To hurt Chase is the same as hurting me. For a while, maybe, but it will get better in time. You'll see. Your daddy knows what he's doing to protect you, Jenna. Please don't fight this." "Don't fight it? Just come home. Let him kill my mate and all will be just fine? Do you even hear yourself?"
"The seer said this would happen," she muttered under her breath.
"What? The seer said what would happen?"
Jenna demanded.
"The seer said upon your birth that you and the bride would be the undoing of the panthers. You're going to destroy us all. So you see, this young man cannot be your mate, Jenna. Because your true mate is a lion. We've always known this."
Jenna became very calm. I expected her to be shocked, to cry, to freak out. But the eerie calm that washed through her scared me far more.
"You don't know shit, Mother. Goodbye. I'll see you on the battlefront."
The woman was yelling for someone and crying hysterically as Jenna calmly hung up the phone. She had a far-off look in her eye when she spoke again.
Did you hear what she said? The part about me bringing destruction to the Panthers?
I nodded but wasn't sure she was actually seeing me.
Yes, I said. It all makes so much sense now. They always treated me carefully. Different from Tessa. Like they were afraid to upset me, even though I never gave them any cause to worry. Never. It all comes back to some stupid prophecy a seer told them. I'm sorry it's coming down to this. But if it's a war he wants, it's a war he'll get. I'll kill him, Chase. I'll kill my father before I let him hurt you.
The lethal tone in her voice would have scared the shit out of a full-blown alpha. But it just made pride well up within me. My princess was ready to fight for us at all costs. I hated that there would likely be casualties. I hated that others had to go to war for us. But when Kelsey had been threatened, the pack rallied behind her, and I had zero doubt they would for us too. I had proudly fought for my brother and his mate, and I could not take that choice away from anyone else. If they chose to stand with Jenna and me, I would accept the help with gratitude. Before we had a chance to discuss, my phone started ringing. I picked it up, more out of habit than anything, and saw Matt Williams's face smiling back at me. Hello? I answered.
Hey, man, so I just got a call from my dad. And you know what he said?
Matt, I got some shit I'm dealing with here. Can you either spit it out or I'll call you back later?
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said, too. All big cats are being requested to stand with King Lockhart in North Dakota this Saturday. You know why?
I sat down, feeling a little deflated. I know. Or at least I had heard. He issued war against the wolves. We had a meeting about it a little while ago.
Aren't the wolves already divided in war?
Matt asked. Jenna's eyes were huge with questions, but I smiled, trying to reassure her. Yes, but the Grand Council has already called a temporary peace. Representatives from the largest 15 packs are coming together tonight to discuss. I have to believe it's going to work out okay.
I'm calling the brothers in, Matt said. I'm not a panther, and he's not my king. But you are my brother, and I will fight by your side to the death.
Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate that, dude. Let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Jenna. Chapter 28. When Chase got off the phone with Matt, he kissed me and left. As much as I loved him, I was glad for a few minutes alone from my meltdown. After a good cry and a shower, I picked up my phone and called Tessa. Jenna, are you okay? She asked. Mother just called. Daddy's ordering all of us to North Dakota. He says he's coming to get you and bring you home. I swear I didn't tell him anything. I know you wouldn't have done that. I just can't believe he's acting like this. Mother didn't even want to hear my explanations. She just started ranting about how Chase couldn't be my mate because the seer said I'd mate a lion and it would destroy the Panthers or some nonsense like that. Tessa was quiet on the other end, and it gave me a bad feeling. Tessa? She really told you about that? She finally asked. You knew? I couldn't help the hurt that knowledge caused. Yeah. Everyone knows. Daddy said that telling you could lead you down the path, that we should never discuss it. He had all of us relocate to the Ark so we could keep an eye on you and take out any lions that tried to come too near. It's the real reason he's so hung up on this pure bloodline stuff. He spent our entire lives trying to keep the prophecy from becoming reality. The seer terrifies him. It's why he keeps her close and happy. I was stunned and didn't know what to say. Jenna, are you still there? Hello? I'm here, I said, feeling disconnected from it all. I'm sorry. We were sworn to secrecy, never to discuss it with you. Most of us were relieved when you started showing interest in Chase, though shocked when you mated him. Still, it wasn't a lion, so we thought the prophecy couldn't be fulfilled now. And yet here we are about to walk into war, felines against canines. It's insane! And Jenna? Yeah?
I don't care what he says. I know you chose Chase of your own free will. You told me you love him, and I'll support that. If it comes down to it, I won't fight against you. You're my sister. There are others here who feel the same way. Thank you, Tessa. I love you, I told her honestly. I didn't know what else to say. Her choosing me meant more than I could ever explain. I guess I'll see you Saturday on the battlefield. I guess so. And I love you, too. When Tessa hung up, I realized I was numb. So much had happened. I had so much information to digest. It was too much. I curled up in a tight ball and let the darkness take me over, grateful for it. When I stirred again, the room was dark. I could feel Chase's arm draped heavily over my waist and his warm body pressed against my back. Safety and love washed over me. I pushed aside the thoughts running through my head, threatening to overtake me, and just reveled in my mate. I breathed in his woodsy scent and snuggled back into him a little closer. He was snoring lightly, but his arm flexed protectively tighter around me. Pain, hurt, and fear were prevalent emotions after all I had learned. Our pack, and from the sounds of it, many other wolves, would be marching into battle for me. I'd have to live with the outcome of that. My parents would do anything they felt necessary to get me back, not even realizing I was right here. And if they'd just open up and talk to me, they'd see that. But they were too blinded by their own ignorance and assumptions to even consider what impact their actions were having on me. Their own daughter. Somehow I must have fallen back to sleep, because the next conscious thing I remembered was Kyle standing over us. I yelped and pulled the covers closer around me. Looking down, I had my pajamas on and remembered changing before Chase came in. Relieved, I sat up and stretched. "Hey, man, what's going on?" Chase asked Kyle.
"I think you two should be present for this morning's meetings. Sorry to intrude so early. Breakfast is ready and we'll be heading out in 30 minutes, he said, before turning and walking back out of the room.
I relaxed when the door closed behind him. It wasn't that I had anything against Kyle. I didn't. He had just startled me and set my panther on high alert with the awkward wake-up call. Chase groaned and pulled me back into him. He started kissing down my neck. "Today's a big day. We shouldn't keep him waiting," I reminded him.
"You understand what's going on today, right?" Chase asked.
I nodded. "I think so."
"They are going to parade us around to the alphas of the largest known wolf packs in hopes of garnering sympathy and aligning the wolves. I hate that they are going to put you on display like that. The little panther whose only fault was falling in love with a wolf. We could just leave, you know. Disappear."
I considered that for a moment. If you had mentioned that a week ago, I'd have been perfectly content and on board with that plan. But now, it's different. Wolves are pack animals. I would be fine, but after spending time here in San Marco, meeting your family, seeing the connections of the wolves here, I can't ask that of you. You need your pack. You need your family. And for some crazy reason, so do I. Besides, what kind of people would we be to leave and force them all to deal with our crap? Daddy will still come after them. He'll still try and punish someone even if he can't get to us. I can't live with that on my conscience. Can you? Relief. That's what I felt when he shook his head sadly.
I know you're right, he said.
He kissed his bond mark on my shoulder.
Let's do this, then.
45 minutes later, we had showered, dressed, eaten breakfast, or in my case, picked at it, as I was too nervous to eat much. And then we were on our way down the mountain. Almost immediately, we passed the sign reading, "Leaving San Marco." We turned right onto a dirt road. A little ways in, it opened up to a huge lodge. It looked like the kind of getaway honeymooners and families alike would seek out. Exiting the vehicle, Chase took my hand and squeezed. I could feel his nerves even while he tried to give me courage. Inside, the lobby of the lodge was even nicer than the outside. A huge stone fireplace was the centerpiece of the room, and comfortable leather chairs and couches were strategically placed throughout. "This is nice," I commented.
"Thanks," Kyle said. "It was Patrick's idea, and a damn good one. This is the first instance we've had to use the place. In some strange way, I suppose we have you two to thank for that." Chase snorted and shook his head. My maid always finds the good in any situation, Kelsey said, as she and Patrick walked in from one of the hallways. She gave Kyle a quick kiss.
Everyone's here,
Patrick informed him.
Everyone?
Kyle asked, sounding a little shocked and maybe a tad uncomfortable. Everyone, Kelsey assured him.
I heard Nikolai was finally chosen as the new Alpha of the Bulgarians. Is that true?
Kyle asked.
It is Alpha,
Patrick said formally.
I remember him well. He was always a fair and worthy opponent in the camp games as young pups,
Kyle said fondly.
Let's hope that hasn't changed too much over the years.
Chase pulled me over to the side. Taking Patrick's cue, I think we should stick to formalities here. Anytime you address Kyle, call him Alpha. Kelsey's title is Pack Mother. Can you remember that? I nodded.
You can address me as Beta, as well as Cole, who's around here somewhere,
Patrick said as we walked over to contribute to the conversation.
There will also be a lot of other Alphas and Councilmen. You can differentiate the Alphas by adding their pack before their title. Longhorn Alpha, Collier Alpha, Bulgarian Alpha. Do you understand?
I nodded again.
Formally, for the councilmen, you can call them Grand Councilmen. Then insert their name as you learn them. Same goes for Pack Councilmen. I know it's a lot to take in, and I wish we had more time to prepare you both. But for the most part, just sit quietly and only speak when specifically spoken to. Kyle and I will try to intervene wherever we can.
Do you have any questions? Chase asked me. A million, but they can wait. Have you ever sat through something like this before? I asked him.
No. The last gathering of the packs took place before I was born. It's not an everyday occurrence, and the formalities go a long way to show reverence and respect to our guests. In a setting with so many alphas, it's especially important. Things can go from friendly to hostile quickly. Should that occur, stay behind me. If I'm not around, Patrick or Kyle will protect you, or stay with Kelsey. Trust me when I say she can hold her own with a lot of them.
Patrick led us down the hall he and Kelsey had come from, and into a large conference room. There were 16 tables throughout the room. It seemed a little odd to me at first. Then I remembered how territorial wolves can be. Memories came back of how Chase had to literally mark our territory at the cabin after the tigers had been found there. I assumed the layout of the room was to give each pack, plus the Grand Council, their own space. Kelsey passed out legal pads and pens to each of us. On the top of mine, she had written, "Remember, wolves have really good hearing, so write your questions down before speaking aloud." I nodded and smiled reassuringly at her. When we were settled, I jotted down my suspicions about the room, and Chase confirmed them. I looked around at the tables curiously, checking out the people sitting at each. Chase grabbed my arm gently to get my attention and pushed his pad towards me.
"Do not make eye contact. Keep yours lowered, or else it could be considered a threat."
My eye shot up to his, and I saw he was being entirely serious. I shuddered at the thought. It was something I did know. I just hadn't really been around the wolves long enough for that to fully sink in. But he was right. In a room full of alphas, I could start another war without even realizing it, over something so simple. I decided it was best to stay close to Chase and keep my head down. I scooted my chair a little closer to him and linked my arm around his. He leaned in and kissed my temple and smiled.
"You're doing great," he wrote on his pad.
"I'm so nervous," I admitted on mine. An older man, short, with a receding hairline, stood and walked to the center of the room. All eyes followed him, and the tables began to still.
"Greetings, alphas," he spoke. "It has been far too long since the great leaders of wolves came together for a common goal. I am only saddened that it is for this such reason. Each of you today will have a chance to voice your opinions, ask your questions, and decide for the entirety of your pack where you stand. As you have each been informed, Chase Weston of the Weston Pack has taken a mate. He believes her to be his one true mate, yet she is not of our kind. Jenna Lockhart is the youngest daughter of King Lockhart of the Panthers. He has rallied the big cats together and issued a formal notice of war to your Grand Council. Had he sent this notice directly to Weston, The decision would be a simpler one to make. He didn't do that, though. King Lockhart has issued a threat to all wolves.
There were growls of anger throughout the room. The intensity of it made me shiver. Grand Councilman Omar, Chase jotted down on my notepad. I added my own notes to remember which one he was.
At this time, we know our kind is at odds among ourselves. Do not think for one second that King Lockhart is not already aware of this fact.
He sat down, and a younger, more handsome and distinguishing-looking man took his place. Since he came from the same table Grand Councilman Omar had just returned to, I deduced he was also a Grand Council member.
Bulgarian Alpha Nikolai, your predecessor issued a war against the Western Pack. The Grand Council sincerely appreciates you just being here. That said, the first issue at hand is to determine if the wolves are even capable of setting aside our differences and working together for the betterment of all wolves. Alpha, he said, addressing Nikolai, what say you?
I am aware of the grievances my late Alpha had against Weston. My people are not prepared to forgive the loss of our great leader. But I am Alpha now, and his grievances are not my own. I cannot promise an alliance at this time, but I can promise to sit and talk with Weston Alpha Kyle in private and consider a temporary treaty for the good of all wolves.
Kyle began a round of clapping and show of gratitude for his decision. The Grand Councilman, Titus, I knew because Chase had once again written it for me, motioned for quiet and thanked the Bulgarian Alpha.
Am I to assume that those packs aligned with Weston and those siding with the Bulgarians will respect the decision and possible treaty, should it be?
The Alpha at each table agreed. The last one to answer sat directly across the room from us and stared at the Weston table with the look of a thousand daggers.
Oi,
he finally said in an unmistakable Irish accent. I glanced between him and Patrick and noticed an uncanny resemblance. Patrick's dad, Chase wrote. He's an arse. I bit my lip, trying not to laugh. Most of the remainder of the morning meeting went by in a blur, or more like a snooze. I was quite bored and struggling to focus. When Grand Councilman Titus was back up in the spotlight, he called Chase forward, and that brought my attention back faster than a freight train. My heart was pounding in my chest with nerves as my mate left me for the first time that day.
Chase,
Titus said, grasping his forearm as Chase reached for the other man's.
Grand Councilman Titus, thank you for your consideration, and that extends to each of you present here today. I cannot tell you in complete honesty that had I known King Lockhart would resort to such extreme measures, I would have reconsidered taking Jenna as my mate, because that would be a lie. Jenna Lockhart is my one true mate, and as such we had every right to complete our mating and begin sealing our bond, a bond that has grown quickly and strengthens more each day.
I blushed when he looked my way. I couldn't believe he was speaking so candidly about our bond to these strangers.
If you have any questions for me or Jenna, I will be happy to answer them. With the Grand Council's permission, I'd like to go ahead and open the floor for any such questions. If you wish to hold them for private, we will be available over the lunch break. But I do encourage you to bring any concerns, fears, or inquiries forward so that the record can be set straight.
Titus looked back towards the Grand Council table and then nodded his approval. What I assumed was the Alpha, from the table closest to ours, raised his hand.
Call your Alpha Zachary. You have the floor, Titus said formally.
Thank you. Now, Chase, I know that many have doubts and questions regarding the validity of your mating with the Lockhart Princess.
Chase pulled his shirt over and showed my bond mark on his neck. I bit back a growl of my own in surprise. The Alpha smiled.
No, son. We realize the bond occurred, or else none of us would be here today. What I mean is the validity of her being your true mate. It seems unlikely and to many inconceivable. I am quite close with your family, and I understand the importance of true mates in the Weston Pack. Can you give us some examples or solid reasoning why anyone here should believe that the princess is your true mate?
Chase took a deep breath. I could feel his agitation.
I'll admit that no one was as shocked as me.
I walked into my first calculus class of the semester and I smelled her. My wolf stirred, and I felt her presence nearby. For weeks, it was a battle of hot and cold every time I saw her. I thought I was losing my mind. How could I feel so much and be so sure one moment, and then look at her and feel nothing the next? I called my alpha immediately and voiced my concerns, not only that my mate was not a wolf, but that there was something wrong with our bond. Hurt sliced through my chest, and unconsciously my arm moved, and I placed my hand over my heart. I then saw Chase Wins, and rubbed the exact matching spot on his own chest. He looked up at me and grinned. Just hearing me say that caused my mate a great deal of pain. I know this for a fact, because I could feel her pain just now, as fiercely as if it were my own. But bear with me a moment. It wasn't until sometime later that I finally realized Jenna has an identical twin sister. There was never anything wrong with our bond. I was feeling nothing when looking at the wrong girl. They may be identical, but I could pick Jenna out of a million lookalikes, because I only have one true mate, and that is Jenna. This time, tears of happiness pricked my eyes, and he winked at me. Now, I can't tell you how or why this happened. Until it happened to me, I had no idea that my true mate could possibly be anything other than Wolf. I just didn't know. So for those of you questioning it, I get it. Unless it happens to you, you may always have a bit of skepticism about it, and that's okay. This isn't really about whether you believe the origin of our mating or not, because the fact is, Jenna Lockhart is my mate. She carries my mark as I proudly carry hers. Our bond is strengthening at an alarming rate. As best as we can figure, the panthers and the wolves have different bonding signs, and we are meeting both simultaneously. It's remarkable, actually. You are free to test our bond if need be. We have nothing to hide. Her father doesn't just want her back, trust me. She's tried to reach out to them. They know she's safe. What they want is my head, literally, not figuratively, and not attached to this body. That caused grumblings throughout the room. Rest assured, the only reason King Lockhart went to the Grand Council was to use intimidation. They don't understand the power of pack. Their kind doesn't form bonds and relationships the way we wolves do. He does not understand that you come after one, you come after all. It's a foreign concept. He expects the Grand Council to hand me over to him, as per his request, because he believes it's okay to cut one for the good of the whole. Is that how we feel? Is that what we believe? No, he will not win this battle. We fight for all. And other shouts came throughout the room. Weston Pack is ready to fight. We are large, and we are fierce. But the word coming in is that he has rallied every able-bodied large cat to come after us. They are already en route to North Dakota, taking up every available seat into the area, because he thinks that will stall our numbers even further, should we have to fight. I do not wish death upon our kind or theirs. It hurts my heart knowing what we're asking here, knowing that some of you, or some of your people, may not make it out of this alive. Weston's been at war against our own brothers for too long. It's time to mend those differences, not just for this, but for good. And if you all choose to turn tail and head home, then I truly pray they kill me swiftly. Because living a life without my mate is far worse than death itself. The tension in the air was tangible. Chase had angered and rallied an entire room filled with domineering alphas. My pulse was racing when he took his seat next to me again. Omar came back up, thanked everyone for their consideration, and adjourned us for break. Several people came up to me and introduced themselves. There were too many names for me to keep up with. The alpha from Call Your Pack came over to speak with Chase. "I'm sorry to have to put you on the spot like that, but I'm proud of how you handled yourself, son. That was exactly what they needed to hear. I think you'll have your majority before we reconvene. And in case no one else has bothered to say it, congratulations. It's not always easy to follow your heart. I wish you both many years of happiness." "Thank you, Zach. I really appreciate that," Chase said before turning to me. "Jenna, this is Zach Collier, Maddie's father."
The mention of his daughter made his eyes glass over. If I didn't know better, I'd swear he was on the verge of tears.
I know what it's like to lose a daughter. Your father is a fool for pursuing this, he said sincerely. A damn fool.
Chase. Chapter 29. I couldn't believe it. Zack was right. We had full support of all the packs before recess ended. Kyle and Nikolai came to a peaceful agreement for a temporary treaty. The wolves were aligned and ready for battle. In a whirlwind of organized chaos, we were settling into North Dakota within 24 hours. Those packs that had already known they would align with Weston had sent their wolves on ahead of the meetings. The holdouts scrambled to get theirs in on time. In all, the 15 largest packs supplied 50% of their biggest and strongest wolves for battle. Of course, no one could question or argue if the numbers were legit because packs kept such information tightly controlled. But it equaled out to a whole lot of wolves. Weston pack brought in even more. It looked to me like our entire pack was present, but Kyle assured me it was only around 70%. I hated knowing he and Kelsey had argued over her attendance. She was pregnant and therefore couldn't shift, but she had been working on her witchy talents and could call upon nature and do other stuff that I shuddered to think about, even while in human form. Plus, under the code of shifters, she could be neutralized, but not killed, as it went against the law of shifters dating back to the Bible. We couldn't kill a human while in animal form. I mean, technically it could be done, but it went against all shifter morals. We may have our differences from the cats, but everyone agreed that would not be one of them. It took a heck of a lot of convincing, but in the end, Mom and Dad conceded and stayed back to protect the mostly women and children who remained behind. Maddie, being pregnant, also couldn't go, and after a screaming match with Liam, he finally conceded to stay behind, too. He was not happy about it, and I loved him for that, but the reality of the situation was that he was already CEO of the Weston Foundation, and that secured the financial future of the pack. If something happened to Kyle, God forbid, Alpha Power would transfer to Patrick as Elise's mate until Xander came of age and shifted for the first time. Patrick, as beta to the Alpha and head of security for Weston, was not going to step down from the fight. If anything happened to him as well, Liam would be next in line for Alpha, and we needed him safe to preserve the pack. North Dakota was still cold despite the spring weather we'd been experiencing in California. What was Jenna's dad thinking? Most of the large cats tended to live in warmer climates, didn't they? I realized I really didn't know all that much about the felines. Since my kid someday had a 50-50 chance of being one, I vowed to ask more questions and research panthers when all this was over. In total, there were over 5,000 wolves present. Plus, all my fraternity brothers had showed up. They literally dropped what they were doing, canceled their own spring break plans, and came to stand by my side. Even Chad was there. Though I wasn't sure what benefit he could possibly be, and I worried the big cats would eat him whole. But there he was, and it meant the world to me. "You did this?" I asked Matt, looking around at my brothers. He shrugged as I bro-hugged him. "What's going down is wrong. We're ready to stand by you. Brothers for life," Matt reminded me. "Brothers for life," I repeated, feeling a little overwhelmed. Later, I pulled Matt aside to make certain he really wanted to go through with it. "I know you were ordered to fight with the cats. I don't want you getting in trouble for this. I spoke to my parents right after talking with you the other day. They respect my decision to stand with the dogs, enough that they refuse to come at all. My family won't stand with them to fight against you. Not all the cats are blindly following him," he informed me. "How many do they have, do you know?" I asked, not 100% sure I was ready to hear the answer. "I don't know. I considered checking in and going all double agent-like, but that's just not right. So I'm gonna stick around over here and get to know as many of these dogs as possible so I'm not mistaken as the enemy when the time comes," Matt said. I laughed. Probably a good plan. Jenna and I discussed trying to reach out to her parents one last time in an attempt to stop it all,
But the Grand Council forbade it, explaining there would be time just before the call for war began. The king had written in a negotiation period, making it very formal and civilized. We all knew that was up until the point he didn't get what he wanted. I spent a restless night holding my mate as we whispered until the wee hours of the morning.